Today's episode is sponsored by Sparkloop. Sparkloop is the number one newsletter growth platform. I'm in the Sparkloop Partner Program, and within the first week, I saw my email list grow by over 12,000%. That's insane. Their newsletter growth strategies and options are the most affordable rates I have ever seen on the market. I'm no longer paying between $5 and $10 per acquired email through online ads. Now I pay as little as $1 for warm emails that stay on my list and engaged for over 30 days. Everything is customizable in Sparkloop, and they will set you up with a team member to help you through the process. Head on over to callumbrecken.com/Sparkloop for more details, or just click the link in the show notes. Now, let's get into today's episode. Welcome to the Businesscape Podcast, where we talk about all things business, marketing, and entrepreneurship. I'm your host, Callum Brecken, and on today's episode, I have founder and CEO of IntroStars, Mike Adams. After 28 years of experience in tech sales and marketing, including time at Zoom, Apple, and HP, Mike has become the king of networking and calls himself a super connector. He's also a startup investor, mentor, founder, and his mission in life is to connect a million people via his platform, IntroStars.com, to inspire a whole new generation of super connectors. I'm excited to chat with Mike on how you can become a super connector, so let's jump in. Hey, Mike, welcome to the podcast. I'm really excited to have you. How are you doing today?
Thanks so much, Callan. Great to be there. I'm very honored to be one of your VIP guests on this incredible podcast. You've had some really interesting people over the last years you've done it. So yeah, I'm excited to be there.
Nice. So I know you are joining us from the UK. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm in London. Yeah, nice. London, the center of the world, right? Everyone ends up in London at some point in their life.
Fun fact, actually, I lived in London in 2007 and 2008. So yes, everybody did end up in London at some point. I love the city. I hope to get back there someday. I've been multiple times, but I do love London. So, all right.
Yeah, I think the energy is so good there. There's like such an international community, whether it's for business or pleasure, you know, loads of tourists, loads of business people, every industry, loads of networking events. It's just so vibrant. I just love that energy. That's why I'm really happy to be there for more than 20 years now.
Yeah, I definitely miss those vibes in London for sure. I love being back in Canada, but there's parts of London that I'm like, oh, I just wish I was there to like, just, you know, pop around the corner and go to a pub or something. It's not the same. It's not the same in North America. So you are kind of a king when it comes to networking. I'm really curious, have you always been outgoing, or was this a skill that you had to learn?
You know, as a kid, I was super shy. I was the shyest kid in front of a computer all day. I was programming video games on my Commodore 64 back in the 80s. And I never imagined in my wildest dreams, I would be in a room full of strangers talking to all these people. I wanted to live my whole life in front of a computer so I wouldn't have to talk to humans, right? So life brought me in a very different direction. So many things happened. When I was 15, I started theater. In my 20s, I worked in tech, and I had to present new product launches to big crowds of people. And I was super shy and nervous about it. But, you know, I was forced to come out of my shell over and over and over again. And about 10, 15 years ago, I started going to business networking events in London. Like, someone took me to a networking event with them. And I just had so much fun. I enjoyed so much talking to people, meeting new people, you know, learning about their business. And one thing led to another. And after one event, I went to another one. And literally after 2.5 years, I went to 1,000 events and people started calling me the king of networking in London. So again, all this happened nearly organically. And it's a very different life path than I would have imagined as a kid. So yeah, definitely did not start out as a outgoing, you know, extrovert kid. I was the complete opposite. But yeah, life brought me there and I'm super happy. I'm loving it. And nowadays, I just love networking. I go to events as much as I can, every day if I can. The more the merrier. And I always have fun every day.
Nice. So what you're saying is that you can learn how to go and become more skilled at networking and getting comfortable and get into those rooms.
You can absolutely learn it. You know what? I started doing a networking masterclass where I teach other people how to network. And there is definitely a technique to it. There is a mindset to it. There's specific ways you can engage people to make it more fun and less salesy or less businessy. And we create that kind of aura of positive attraction. We attract friendly people who want to talk to you. So yeah, there's definitely a skill to it. Some people have it very naturally, some people don't, but everyone can learn it for sure. And obviously, you have to do it. The more you do it, the more comfortable you are, right? So you have to come out of your shell. Even if you're not comfortable doing it, push yourself out of your comfort zone, go to a few events, and slowly, one after another, you're going to start to have fun and start to see what works and how you can attract great conversations. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to dive into that bit a little bit later in the conversation because that is a very important piece. But first, I want to ask, why is it so important that entrepreneurs learn how to socialize and network at, these events?
The most important thing in your life is to know when people talk about you and when you're not in the room, what do they say about you, right? And you really want to build your personal brand and your reputation as a great person to do business with, lots of people talking about you. And to do that, you do need to put yourself out there. So I think there's two elements to it. One is your personal brand on LinkedIn, where you talk about what you're doing, you talk about how you help people, how a great person you are. And second of all is the networking part. We need to build a network of people around you who know you who are, who know what you stand for, and obviously build long-term relationships. And going to lots of networking events, building that network is useful in every walk of life. Whether you're looking for a new job, whether you're looking for a business partner, looking for investors, looking to launch your own startup, looking to change, get a promotion in your current job or your current company, or get a better job somewhere else, or just meet interesting people, maybe make friends. Maybe make even your love partner, all of this has to do with other people. So the more you go out there and go networking and meet people, the more opportunities you create for yourself. And also you get to enjoy life because you see by meeting all these people, you see so many different ways of what other life path, how people ended up in so many different interesting life choices, life careers, which you never imagined. And so I think it's just it puts you in a very good mood and just creates a very optimistic mindset if you go to lots of networking events. So I cannot recommend it highly enough. I think everyone should go networking at some point for sure.
So you just mentioned before, introverts. I am a big introvert. What's your advice for introverts, knowing that you went from being introverted to kind of coming out of your shell? Because as an introvert, this can be very daunting, to go to these networking events. When I first started going to networking events, I was extremely nervous. I had to hype myself up. I had to like plan ahead. I had to get mentally ready to spend all of this, what I call social energy. So, what advice do you have for introverts who are like, okay, I know that this is important, but it's still scary, or I just don't know how to like do it?
I think for introverts or new at networking, my best advice to them would be to go with a friend of theirs who's an extrovert. And so that extrovert friend, like your wingman or wing buddy, can help you be a bit more comfortable walking into a room full of strangers. And that person, being an extrovert or more used to networking, can really introduce you to people they meet. So they go and talk to someone and say, "Hey, I want you to introduce to my friend Callan. Hey, come and talk to them. They're really great for this reason." So that definitely helps a lot. For beginners or people who are a bit shy to go with someone else who can help them, make those first steps. So that's number one. Number two, and that's for everyone, whether you're an introvert or not, is your mindset. If your mindset to go to a networking event is you must meet people because you must meet potential clients and sell them a product or service, or you must make a business deal, you must do this, you must do that. If you put all these targets in your head, you're going to be really shy and nervous and scared, and you're going to fail because you're going to be in that mindset where you go there with such a specific goal that you're nervous to achieve that goal. So instead of that, the mindset you should use is to only have fun. You're only there to have fun, have friendly conversations. You don't expect anything out of it. You don't expect to meet business partners or customers or prospects or investors. You just expect to meet friendly people and have a laugh and a friendly conversation. If you go with that mindset, you will always be successful because you didn't set yourself up with these super high targets that you must meet customers, you must close a deal, you must do this, you must do that. No, keep it completely open. Leave it serendipitous, serendipity, let serendipity do its thing and enjoy the moment. And I think with that mindset, even an introvert person will enjoy it and actually will have fun and enjoy friendly conversations.
Okay, those are two really important pieces, especially the first one about finding a buddy to go with. I know that being able to have that person to say and communicating with that person, not just going with them, but communicating, hey, this is actually a situation that does make me a bit nervous, and letting the other person know, because nobody's a mind reader, letting that buddy know, be like, hey, would you be my buddy for this and like help introduce me to people? Because this does make me really nervous. This isn't like a really easy setting for me. Even just saying that your friends or people you're acquainted with want to help and support you. And so they were most likely going to be more than happy to take you around, introduce you to people, get you comfortable in situations to warm you up. And then that second piece, that is like, chef's kiss, because that is the only way I have ever gone to like quote unquote networking events. When I started my business and I knew I moved to Toronto from Dubai, I had no friends, I had no network, I had nothing. Then it was the pandemic. That's a whole other story. But then when I started going out, I didn't know any of these people. I didn't have business backgrounds, business degrees, all these networks to lean on. And so I went with the intention of being like, hey, let's just meet some really cool people and like have fun. And that is the only way that I will do it, because it just totally changes the environment and the atmosphere. And I've gotten business like many times from going to these events just by being who I am and being kind and being more interested in the person as a human being than what they can provide to me in like resources or business. And I will speak to the fact that as a person in the LGBTQ community, I feel that we network very differently than our heterosexual counterparts. When I've gone to kind of bigger conferences where it's mostly like a straight crowd that's there, the energy and the vibe is so different than the energy and the vibe at the queer community, because I feel like we do business in the community the same way we do community, is that we know we need to support each other on fundamental levels because we just have to, and we carry that into business. And so I do find that most of us do tend to approach business in more of a family, familiar kind of friendship vibe way, knowing that one day something might come of it and not expecting that to be upfront. How's your experience been with that? Like having the friendly approach?
Yeah, I think the best thing you can do when you start a conversation with someone at a networking event or anywhere else is to open up with your vulnerabilities. Instead of saying, I'm the best, I'm amazing at this or that, start with the opposite. Say, you know what? I'm actually a bit nervous. I'm a bit shy. I don't do many networking events. I don't know if you're nervous as well. Can we help each other out to be a bit more comfortable together? And kind of open up with your vulnerability. Really open so many doors because people love that. They actually want to help you. And you also create trust because you're not trying to sell yourself. You're not trying to say you're the best. You're actually saying, no, I've got issues. I need help. Like, help me. Like, and opening up with that in a normal business context obviously is great because it creates that trust. But especially in the LGBT community, we all have, gone through issues and obstacles, and we all had some life issues we had to overcome. And I think by opening with that, again, you put yourself even more in that comfortable, safe space where we all want to help each other, right? And I think that's great advice for anyone who goes out networking is to, don't be shy to show your vulnerabilities. And again, going back to those introverts who are shy, go to their first event, open up by saying that. Go and talk to them and say, you know what? I'm actually super shy. I'm an introvert. But let's have a conversation, and that's great. I think it's wonderful to open up about that and show your vulnerabilities. People love that. I think it's fantastic to show your vulnerabilities and also ask for help. Say, you know what? I'm actually looking for help on this topic or that topic, or I'd love an introduction to this person. Can you help me? And I think that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, so this episode already has been jam-packed full of great advice, but I know you have a ton more inside. So I just want to get like, if you had to give two more like top tier pieces of advice, whether that's like an opening phrase or whether that's just general advice, what are your kind of top two things that you usually, tell people when you first start this?
When you go to any kind of business networking event, inevitably you're going to get the same question 50 times, 50 times, which is, what do you do? And so
I
when you
hate
get
that question.
that question is going to come no matter what. You're going to get that question, right? And so make sure the answer you provide to that question is not a random answer. You have to think about that answer before you go to the event. It's already in your head. And that answer should be very, very short, not 60 minutes, not talking about your whole life. Very short, but also a bit cheeky or a bit intriguing or a bit funny, or make it a bit more interesting than saying, hey, I'm a doctor. Hey, I'm a lawyer. Hey, I'm a tax consultant. Try to make it a bit more interesting and say, I help people overcome their biggest fear, which is taxes. There's something a bit more, say it in a bit more crazy, creative way, just to stimulate a bit of emotion from the other person, right? And so the answer to that question again, what do you do? That answer should be, think about a good way to answer that in a funny, short, succinct way. And I insist on short. So that the second piece of advice is related. Keep your answers short. So many times you go to a networking event and you meet someone for the first time, say, hey, what are you working on? What's in? And then they start talking for 5, 15, 20 minutes about their whole life journey. It's like, no, you don't want that. You want to keep it super short because you want to talk to 20 other people at that event. So make the effort to keep your own answers super short. And if the other person is interested, they will ask you more questions. And then, of course, you can follow up. But always keep your answers very, very short. And the other person will love you for it. They will appreciate the fact you keep your answers short, right? Because they want to speak to more people. You want to speak to more people. They get it, right? We're on the same side here. So those are our two pieces of advice. Keep your answers short to everything. And then when you introduce yourself, people say, what do you do? Answer in a really exciting, short, intriguing, cheeky way. And maybe change it up. So if 10 people ask you that question, what do you do? Come up with a different answer every time. And maybe make it related to the other person. So try to figure out what they do first. And when you answer what you do, make it relatable to what they're doing. So if they're a doctor, you say, well, actually, I help doctors achieve blah, blah, blah. If they say they're an accountant, say, well, actually, I work with lots of accountants doing blah, 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 right? So kind of make it related to what the other person is doing, because then, of course, they want to talk more with you, right? That's what's.
That is impeccable advice because there is nothing worse than being at a networking event and introducing to somebody and they just go on and on and on. And you're like, oh my gosh, I did not ask for your life story. And there's like 10 other people here that I want to talk to. So, and then try to politely be like, well, this is really nice. I also think giving people like a polite out and giving a breath in the conversation and like kind of giving that energy of like, it's okay if we end this conversation. We don't have to like continue on forever. That's a piece that people definitely miss sometimes where they're like, oh, now I'm stuck in this conversation. It's like you can give those polite outs of like, well, it was a pleasure to meet you. Or, oh, you know, what do you, okay, do you have like a polite out that you like to use, like a polite way that you exit a conversation?
I mean, I use a few, but one I do like is like, who's the coolest person you've met tonight? Can you introduce me to them?
Oh, that's
That's a gold.
good.
Yeah, so that's a gold one. Another very simple one is, you know what? I'm loving this conversation, but no, let's connect on LinkedIn and continue this conversation next week. Is that okay? Right? Or something like that.
That's a good one. I tend to use that one a lot, just like intuitively, because it's like, hey, you know, let's connect on LinkedIn, and then that gives a break in the conversation where it's been the back and forth, and it kind of breaks the conversation in that point. So then you can be like, cool, I'm gonna go, you know, chat to this person, or I needed to catch up with this person, but I have you on LinkedIn now so we can catch up later on this. That's a good one.
Another one is just tell them, I'm loving this conversation, but I'd love to meet many other people tonight. Is that okay? Let's connect on LinkedIn and let's go and mingle with other people. That'd be great, right? And usually they're not offended because they want to mingle with more people too, right? So it's kind of a, you
A
give them
win-win.
that door as well. It's a win-win.
Yeah,
Exactly.
exactly. Okay, so my next question, it might be a little bit of a divisive question, and it's kind of a two-parter. So, you know, this isn't the way people love to think about these things, and it's not the way I necessarily think about it, but it's definitely a way a lot of people think about it. But how can somebody monetize their network is first part. And then the second part is, how does someone get over maybe feeling icky about the thought of monetizing their network? Because, you know, people shouldn't want to just like people should just want to help other people, but a lot of people don't. And so there is this kind of energy around it sometimes where it's like, you know, navigating that, you know, you have to network and it's good for business and that's part of the deal. But, You don't want to feel icky about it. So two pieces. How do you monetize the network, but how do you not feel icky about that whole experience?
Yeah. I mean, I heard so many people say, oh, I've introduced those two people to each other. And a few weeks later, they closed a $100,000 deal. And I got a thank you note. You know, it's like, ugh, you know, is that fair? Right. And so that happens a lot. I mean, I think the best way to look at it is when you want to help other people, you generally want to help them. You actually want to introduce people to each other. You want to create value for them. You want to help others. You're a good person. You want to put, you know, tokens in your karma box by, you know, being a good person, and it will come back to you. And all that stuff is 100% true. On the other hand, if you help two people close a $100,000 deal, you should get rewarded. You should get paid a referral commission, not because you're entitled or whatever, but just because it's fair compensation for everyone involved. If you create value for others, they should create value for you. So I think it's just a fair way to do it. So how do you do it so it's not icky, right? Well, when you meet people at networking events, I meet people all the time. I always ask them very openly, who could I introduce to you to make you more successful? What introduction could I make for you, right? And when I say that, I don't want anything in return. I just want to generally ask them, is there anyone I could introduce to me? And then they start telling me, yeah, I'm looking for a business partner, an investor, whatever. I said, sure, that's great. And I simply ask them, do you have actually a referral program? Do you pay people for referrals or not? Is that a thing? And many people say, yeah, sure, we're happy to pay you 10% if we close a deal. Most people wouldn't even like, you know, have any ickiness about it. For them, it's normal. It's just like normal business. It's the way it's done, right? And if that's the case, then again, there's no issue there. On the other hand, if they say, no, we've never done it, but it's not a problem. Sure, we're happy to do that. That's the typical reaction I get. And if other people are completely against paying a referral commission, then that's fine. It's like, okay, really. I think of it also, there's two types of introductions. Like, one type of introduction is when you're simply trying to help people meet other potential people they could do business with. So I typically introduce startup founders to each other, or startup founders, business consultants, or two people in the same industry. You could chit-chat about their industry. And when I make those types of introductions, I never expect anything in return. I do it completely free on either on LinkedIn or by WhatsApp messages or an email. And I never want to hear it back from it. It's perfectly fine. Again, no, it's tokens in my karma box, right? It's all good. But that is another type of introduction, which is very different, where you really introduce a person selling a product or service to a potential customer for that product or service, where there is an expectation that they're gonna close a large deal, maybe $20,000, $50,000, $100,000. And for me, that is a different type of introduction. That is not the same as your day-to-day introductions helping a bunch of people, right? And so that second type of introduction, where you're talking about a large sum of money, where a vendor and a customer, that type of introduction, I believe, should be done under some kind of referral agreement, where you agree upfront with the person, say, hey, I'm going to introduce that customer, but if you guys close a deal, you know, it's only fair that you pay a percentage. Is that okay with you? And again, most people selling a product or service looking for big clients are super happy to pay a referral commission. They're happy because for them, they think, great, I'm going to get a great customer thanks to you. I'm happy to reward you. So you're going to bring me even more referrals, right? So again, everyone's winning. Like, no one's taking advantage of each other. Everyone is a winner, right? Win, win, win. And so if you look through that mindset, it is not icky. There's zero ickiness because it's about creating value for everyone involved and rewarding people fairly for the time, effort, and reputation they put on the line to help you to make that introduction. So again, long-winded answer to your question, but that's the way I look at it, right? There's day-to-day introductions you do just to help. There's introductions where you expect a large deal, where it's fair to get compensated. But even for those, your intention is always to help, right? The intention is not the money. The intention is to help. Because mm-hmm. you truly, they will actually be able to work together and they're going to close this large deal. And if you only get paid on success, then your incentive is only to make good introductions. You don't have any incentive to make a bad introduction just for the money. Like, that never happens, because if it's a bad introduction, you damage your reputation and you're not going to earn money because they're not going to close a deal. So again, the intention is always helping. That doesn't change. That's always the same. It's just about being rewarded fairly if something comes out of it.
I love that. Oh yeah, that answer. I love that. And I love that you went through that, because I do know, like, That, you know, that is something that does come up for people. And, you know, maybe it's whether it's their own individual value system or whether it's their own intrinsic value of themselves, of like, oh, why do I deserve this? It's, you know, because this is the world we live in. We live in a capitalistic world for its pros and its cons. And this is a part of it. And you should be able to benefit from the parts of it that you help make better. And I fully believe that. Is this kind of in line with what you're doing over at IntroStars?
Exactly. So my startup, IntroStars, is exactly about helping super connectors, networkers, introducers to track every introduction they make to guarantee that if a deal ever comes out of it in the future, they will get rewarded fairly, compensated fairly for the effort they've put into the introduction. So really, IntroStars was built from my personal experience as a super networker, as a king of networking, and as a super connector, connecting people all the time. But the issue when without IntroStars, and I used to do this back in the day, is that it's very hard to track every introduction you make. Now, sometimes you make an introduction and a deal only comes out 6 months later. By then, the person you've introduced completely forgot about you. They don't even remember that you're the one who made it happen, right? And so IntroStars really solves that problem by tracking every introduction. You know exactly when you made the introduction, who you introduced, and the person selling a product or service who received the introduction, they get a reminder every week. They can track the introduction, where it is in the cycle. And once they close the deal, they can fairly compensate you. So thank you so much, Callan, for that introduction. We're super happy to now pay you 5% of the deal or whatever it is. And it just, again, creates that transparency and that fairness and that tracking to make everything clear for everyone involved and to make sure it's always a win-win. A win-win-win, really, for every party of an introduction. And so, really, that's the dream of IntroStars. We launched in London with more than 1,000 people already on the platform. We're just about to launch in New York and many other cities in the US, and of course, Canada just after that. So, I really want to help millions of people become super connectors, start to make more introductions, because truly, that will make the world a better place. You know, every time you introduce two people to each other, you create something new, you create a new opportunity. 1 + 1 = 3. You create this new door which wasn't there before. And bringing people together is the best thing you can do to make the world a better place, right? And I think, especially in today's world where everyone is so polarized and everyone's being separated by their ideals and their ideology, the best way to counteract that is to bring people together, connect them, create opportunities, be a super connector, be a matchmaker. You know, that's really the best thing people can do. And so if we can incentivize millions of people to become introducers and matchmakers, that will just make the world a better place and create value in business and prosperity for everyone involved, right? So
I
that's
love
what's
that.
interesting about that.
I love that. It's definitely like there's definitely cases where, you know, I'm happy to make introductions all the time. I do it all the time just because it's what I love to do that. But there's definitely those like few that I'm just like, well, I saw like a deal happen and like neither one of the people I was necessarily close with, but I knew each individual and I was like, you know what? I feel like these two would like something would come of that. And if I could have gotten compensated for that, I definitely would have, you know, appreciated. Or there's the ones that float in the background that you're like, my life is too busy to do this. But if I really sat and thought about it, I'm like, ooh, I could introduce these people and like a deal would come from that. But I've got too much other stuff going on right now. So this kind of gives that incentive to maybe be more proactive in making those introductions and doing those things. So that's fantastic. To wrap things up here, what's the true power of a network?
True power of a network, as I mentioned before, is what people say about you when you're not in the room. So it's about having enough people in your network that people talk about you and say, you know, I'm looking for this amazing guy, Callan, this amazing guy, Mike, for this project. And I heard about him, someone introduced me to him. He's such a great person. I want to bring him in, right? And especially, you know, in the LGBT community, it's so important to help each other, to bring that, create that community of people. Well, we all know people in every possible walk of life, and we all always can bring the relevant people in the conversation, whether working on a business project, on a personal project, or creating a new team, launching a new startup. You know, if you know those people in your network, you always know who to bring in to help you achieve that dream, that vision, that project you're trying to achieve. And so, really, building your network is creating that network of opportunities around you. For
Oh.
yourself and the other people as well, right?
Amazing. Well, I love that. Where can folks find out more about IntroStars and yourself?
So my website is introstars.com. So very easy to remember because introducers are stars, right? It's a community of super connectors. I'm very active on LinkedIn. So I've got more than 30,000 followers on LinkedIn. So I try to post every single day, words of advice on networking, on lead generation, on business connections, introductions, referrals. I try to do lots of videos. And we also have our own podcast, which is called The Super Connectors, where we interview other super connectors who love to connect people, who also want to make the world a better place by creating all these connections. So feel free to check me out on LinkedIn, Mike Adams on LinkedIn, and then introstars.com. That'd be great.
Fantastic. I'll make sure to have all those links in the show notes so that if you're interested, you can go and check those out. Mike, thank you so much. This has been a really, really fantastic conversation. I think people are going to get a lot out of this episode.
Great. I really enjoyed our conversation, Callan. Great to speak to you.
Thanks for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. And if you really enjoyed today's episode, I would love a star rating from you. The Business Gay Podcast is written, produced, and edited by me, Callan Brecken. That's it for today. Peace, love, rainbows.